Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yom. My name is Yitzchak Shalom, and we are now at Mishnah Vav of the fifth chapter of Masachet Gittin, in the middle of our discussion of Tikkun Olam, and we are on Daf Nun He Amud Bet, and this begins, as I promised, a relatively long piece that we will do over the course of two sessions. That will the tangent of which will begin almost immediately after the Mishnah. Lo haya sikri kon biyehuda maharugei melchama. So the law of the sikri kon, which we will read about forthwith, did not apply through or before harugei melchama, which means the much pillaging and all that went on through the Jewish war of the year 66 to 73. From that point on, the law of Sikri Kon applies. And what is that? Sikri Kon were strong-armed people who would threaten people's lives unless they gave them their land and thus push them off their land. How does the law work? Let's say that the Sikri Kon pushed him off and then sold the land. You bought the land from him. And then you went back and bought the land from the original owner, Mekho Batel. That deal is invalid. But if you bought it from the Balabait, then you went and bought it from the Sikri Kon to make sure that you had all your rights on it, then Mekho Kayam. That was the rule. So in a parallel vein, this is talking about property that the woman brings into the marriage so the husband doesn't have rights to sell. If a man buys it from... somebody buys it from the husband, and then he goes afterwards and buys it from the wife, Mekho Batel. And we'll see all the details about this three podcasts from now, after we deal with the very huge tangent. This is all the earlier ruling. Beitin shalachareim amru. The later Beitin ruled differently and said, if you buy from the Sikri Kon, the deal is valid, but you have to pay a quarter of the value as reparations to the original owner. Ematai, when's that? Bizman Shein Biadan Likach. That's if the original owners have no way to recover the field themselves. If they do, you've got to give them right of first refusal and first chance to buy the property back to restore it to their own ownership. Rabbi Hoshiv Beit Din v'nimnu. Rabbi assembled a Beit Din, and Rabbi, of course, 150 years after Harugei Melchama, and they made a ruling. Sheim shahata b'fnei sikakon shemasar chodesh kol kodem l'kach zacha v'tem l'balim revia. Something of what seems like a compromise between the two positions, that if the Sikri Kon had held the property for 12 months and the original Balabait was not successful in getting it back, then everybody has equal access to the property. He's lost his rights. But if you buy it, you have to give a quarter of the value of the field. It means you're paying 1.25%, 125% of the value. You have to give that to the Balabait as reparations for the land that he lost. Okay, now the Gemara immediately attends to a small detail at the Mishnah. The Gemara immediately understands Sikri Kon not as being a consequence, but rather a description. How could you say that there were strong-armed people after the war, but not during the war? What the Mishnah means, exactly what we've explained it, is that the rule of the Sikri Kon was not implemented until afterwards. The Amar Rabbi Asi, Gimel Gzeirot Gazru, there were three different measures that happened in the relationship between the Roman strong-armed thugs. These should not be confused with the Sikari, who are among the sects of Jews, who were called that as a as an insult by fellow Jews. These are really groups of thugs. Gzerta Kamaita, the first Gzera was called Kodolo Kotel Liktaluhum. If somebody doesn't kill a Jew, then he's killed, meaning he had to kill, and therefore the Jew knew that his life was forfeit, and therefore he would give the land and say, take my land and let me leave. And he did it with full intent to give up the land. Mitziata, the next decree was called the Kotel Leiti Arba Zuzi. If you kill, you have to pay 4 zuz. Alright, so it was not sanctioned, but it was also not highly punishable. Batraita called the Kotel Liktaluhu. The final decree was if you kill somebody, these legions were getting out of hand. So if you kill somebody, you will be killed. So Hilka Kamaita Mitziata, therefore, in the first two cases where there was not a grievous punishment waiting for you if you killed a Jew, then came under Kotli, Agabunse Gamermakni. Since they would threaten you with death and you knew they were going to kill you, then you really, really meant to give them the field. Batraita, so after Hoge Mechama, Amri Ha'idna Lishkol. They said, you know what, let the guy take it now. Lamachar Tavan Levidina, and I could take him to court later, because the government clearly has turned against these against these outlaws, and I can get him in court, and therefore he doesn't give it over intentionally. Now this begins a famous, famous sugya, which is commonly studied on Tisha B'Av. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my dichtiv ashrei adam fachet tamin makshel bo yipol b'ra'a. Pasuk in Mishlei, which essentially praises anxiety and puts both stubbornness and complacency as very bad traits. And he says there are three aphorisms. Akam Tzov, Akam Tzachar, Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is destroyed because of, if you will, the difference between the name Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Atarnigolav, Atarnigol Tachar, Uvtur Malka. This is one that we will study about tomorrow in the next podcast. That because of a rooster and a hen, Tur Malka, Har HaMelech, was destroyed. This happened 100 years earlier, before the destruction of Yerushalayim. And Ashaka Derisfak Haru Beitar. Beitar was destroyed, and this is 65 years later, the year 135, because of a peg of a chariot. So we're going to deal with those two stories in the next podcast. For right now, we'll focus on Kamsa Bar Kamsa and all of the stories that roll away from it. Akamsa Uvar Kamsa Harushalayim. What's the story? There, parenthetically, is a parallel version of this story, which has some significant variations found in Echa Rabba, Perek Dalad Pasuk Bet. Kamsa or Kamsa Chavishalim. What's it? Who gavra the rachme Kamsa val the vaved bar Kamsa? He liked a fellow named Kamsa. He had an enemy named Bar Kamsa. And by the way, Kamsa does not play a role in the story at all. Avad Sudata, this fellow who were in unnamed, made a big feast. Amar Leshame told his servant, Zil Aiti the Kamsa, go bring Kamsa as my guest. Give him a list of guests. Azal Aiti the Bar Kamsa. And it's not at all clear whether the servant was just a dunderhead and made a mistake, or whether he intentionally wanted to foul the meal by bringing in this fellow's enemy, or maybe the opposite, he wanted to create a rapprochement. In any case, he brought Kamsa. Now, Bar Kamsa. Why did Bar Kamsa come? That's a good question. He may have thought, this fellow wants to make up with me, for whatever reason. So the fellow walked into his own feast and saw Bar Kamsa. Since this fellow is my enemy, my boy Tacha, what are you doing here? Kum fuk, get up and leave. Amarle hoyel v'atoy shavkan. As long as I'm here, leave me be. And I'll give you what I eat and what I drink. I'll pay for all of what I eat and I drink. Now, was the Bar Kamsa here just saying, as long as I'm already here, let me eat, or don't shame me, as the version in the Medrash Rabbah says? Unclear. However, you would kind of wonder why somebody would want to stay at a feast that they were not welcomed at. Amar Lelo. So the host said no. Amarle, I'll pay for half the feast. Amarle, lo. And now you can understand why the Balabait, who was being very obstinate, thus fulfilling Rabbi Yochanan's Pasuk, refuses, because he doesn't want to be partners with this fellow who he hates in sponsoring a party. Amarle, I'll pay for the entire party. Amarle, lo. The guy said, absolutely not. And again, it's his party. Nakte biyad, again, there's great financial loss here, but stubbornness is stubbornness. Nakte biyad v'afke, picked the guy up physically and threw him out. Amar, so Bar Kamsa said to himself, Ho'il v'havu yat v'rabbanim v'lo machubei, the rabbis were sitting there and they didn't stop him. Shma minakarechalu, they must have approved of this behavior. Izel ichubu v'kurtse b'malka, I'll go rat on them to the king. Now this is very strange, because he's going to go rat on his own people and lead to his own destruction, but again, he's being stubborn. Azal Amarle the Kesar. Now, Kesar here does not mean the Caesar, it means the Judean governor, the governor of Judea. Mardubach Yudai, the Jews are rebelling against you. Amarle Miyemar, prove it. Amarle Shadalahu Korbana, he said, you send some Korbanot. Now, you have to remember, we accept Korbanot from non-Jews, and the Roman government would always send offerings to whatever the local religious group was to keep peace and to appease the gods, etc. So he said, send a korban. Chazi timakarvin lei. See if they offer it. Because if the Jews don't offer it, it means that they don't want their God to favor you. And that's rebellion. This is the thinking. Azal sharabi yade egla tilta. So he sent a fatted cow. Bahadi ko'ati sharabi muma beniv sfatayim. Va'amri la badukin shiba ayin. So two versions of the story, but Bar Kamsa put a blemish either on his lip or in his, the white of his eye of the animal. The kind of place that in our religion it's called a mum, in their religion it's not called a mum, they can offer such an animal, which would mean if a Roman was standing around and saw such an animal be rejected from the Mizbeach, he would think it's not because of the mum. That raises a whole lot of other questions about what the information source was for the governor. Now suddenly the rabbis get involved, which is also strange because the Kohanim should be deciding this. And the rabbi said, maybe we should bring the korban anyways, because we've got to keep peace with the government. Our mother rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas, a character who's largely unknown to us otherwise, shows up here and says that Yomru, Bali Mumin, craving the government's beach. You can't bring the offering, because then people will say, you can bring offerings. So they thought they should kill Bar Kamsa, and by the way, they should, because he's a Moser. The Lays of Alema. So he shouldn't be able to go back and tell the Romans what happened, which means the Romans had no other source for information, evidently, except for Bar Kamsa. Why would the Romans believe him? Bar Kamsa could have just gone away for a day, come back and said they didn't bring your offering, and there's nobody to substantiate or to deny his claim. It raises a lot of questions about the story. Amar the Rabbi Zachariah, so Rabbi Zachariah then said, Yomru meitel mum b'kod shemi areg, that the punishment for causing a blemish in a korban is death, which is not true either. So what happened? The story doesn't say it, but evidently they let him go, and he went back and reported that the claim was true and that the Jews were rebelling. And what's the upshot? Rabbi Yochanan in Vatanu Tosho, Rabbi Zachariah ben Avkulas, his humility, destroyed our house, burned our temple, and caused us to be exiled from our land. This is, of course, a very extravagant statement. But what does Rabbi Yochanan mean by the humility? So for that, we really do have to look at the other version in Midrash Rabbah. And in that story, Zechariah ben Avkulas was present at the feast, had the ability to speak up and to stop Bar Kamsa from being shamed, and said nothing. And he was really the target of Bar Kamsa's anger, and that's the statement Rabbi Yochanan says, that it was his humility, meaning his unwillingness to speak up and to stop that social injustice of the public shaming of Bar Kamsa that led to this destruction. We'll see this echoed in the Bavli at the end of this podcast. Now, what happened? Shadri Lavayu Neron Kesar. So the Romans sent Nero to battle. Kikaati Shada, this is very difficult to reconcile with the historic Nero, maybe somebody else. Kikaati Shada Gira Lemizrach, he came and did a symbolic act to see what would happen. He shot an arrow to the east, Atanaf of Yerushalayim, and it went towards Yerushalayim. The Marav, Atanaf of Yerushalayim. The Aruch HaShemayim, Atanaf of Yerushalayim. He shot an arrow in all directions, and each time it turned around and went towards Yerushalayim. So he understood he's supposed to attack. Amar le Yanuka, he saw a kid, and he said to him, Psokli psukecha. Basically, kid, what did you learn in Cheder today? Amar le, so he quoted the pasuk, Natati et ninglati be'edom, bi'arami Yisrael. I am going to take my vengeance against Edom, which midrashically is Rome, in the hands of Am Yisrael. So what happened, Amar? So Nero says to himself, Kuchibrichu boy lechuva beite. He wants to destroy his own house. Voy lechpura yadeva ugavron. Then he wants to take it out of me and make me the scapegoat. You know, so he was reading the pasuk that way. Arak v'azaligar, he ran away, converted, v'nafak mine Rabbi Meir. Famously, Rabbi Meir is recorded as a descendant of Nero. Shadri Lavayu las Pasinus Kesar. Then they sent Vespasian, the general. Ata tsar ala tlatshani. For 3 years, he besieged the city. Havu bahanhu tlata atira. There were three rich men in Yerushalayim. Nakdimon ben Gurion, he's a famous people. Uven Kalba Sabua, famously Rabbi Kiva's father-in-law. Uven Tzitzit HaKeset. Why are they called this? So evidently we understand they're not the real names. Nakdimon ben Gurion, why should Nakta lo Chama ba'avuro? That the sun stopped on his behalf like it did for, for Yoshua had actually shone on his behalf, that it's a story in Masechet Tanit that the sun shone on his behalf. So he was, that was his name. Now, either that was his real name, and then we find an association. All right, Ben Kalba Sabua, who I shekol nechas levetok shuk ra'ev kekelev. Anybody coming into his house hungry as a dog, yotzei kshu savea, comes out, savea, comes out satisfied. Ben Tzitzit HaKeset, why was he called that? Shaitat tzitzato nigreret al gabei ksatot. That his tzitzit, and whether it means that of his garment or of his hair, were dragging on the wealthy pillows of the Romans, meaning that he was among the elite. So Ika d'amri shaita kisato mutelat ben gedolei Romi, that his chair sat among the great Romans. In other words, he was a wealthy man. So these three wealthy men said, Chan amar lehu, ana zayin lehu b'chiti usari, I'll take care of all the wheat and barley for the entire city through the siege. I'll take care of the wine and the salt and the oil. I'll take care of the wood. And they praised, the Rabbanon praised the one who said the wood more than anybody else. He would give the keys to any of his storehouses to his servant, except for the one of wood. One storehouse of wheat needs 60 storehouses of wood in order to cook it. Because wood is a much greater gift because you need much more of it to take care of everything. In any case, havalon lemezon esrim v'chad shata, they had enough to feed the entire city and take care of the city for 21 years. But havu bahu hanu bin biryoni, this is quite famous, of the biryonim, the zealots in the city, who wanted to create a war, generate a war against the Romans. Amrulu Rabbanan, the Rabbanan said, Nefil Kunavij Shlomo Bahadayu, let's go out and make peace with the Romans and find some sort of surrender terms. Lo Shavkinu, they didn't let them go out. Amrule Nefil Kunavij Krava Bahadayu, they said, let's go out and fight with them. Rabbanan Lo Mistaya Milta, it won't help, we can't beat them. Kamu Kalanu Lahanhu Amberi Dechiti Usari, they burned down the storehouses of wheat and barley, Bahamekafna, and now there was a terrible famine. Marta bat Baitus, and here we hear the story of the famous wealthy Marta bat Baitus, Atirta Rushalayim Have, she was the richest woman in Rushalayim. Shadarta Lishluchav Amrle, she sent her agent out to the market and said, Zil Aitile Smita, go bring me fine flour. Da'azalizdaman, now the first servant wasn't so quick on the uptake either. When he went, it had all been sold. Ata amar la smida leika chivarta ika. He came back and said, there is no fine flour, but there is white flour. Amar le zil itili, so he said, go get it. Ada azal is the ban. When he got to the marketplace, the white flour was gone. Ata amar la chivarta leika gushkara ika, the slightly coarser flour. Amar le zil itili, he said, go get it. Ada azal is the ban. Ata amar la gushkara leika kimcha desar ika. Now there's barley flour. Amar le zil itili. She kept telling him, so get that. Ada azal is the ban. And by the time he got there, it had all been sold. Have a shleif from a sauna. She took off her shoes. I'll go see if I can find something to eat. Etiv la parta bechara umeta. So she stepped on some of the feces of animals in the street, and she ended up dying. Why is that? Kariyala Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, so the famous Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said about her, Harakah b'chamunuga shalom istacha fragla segal aretz, the very fancy women of among you are going to be killed because they've never stepped on the ground, and now, right, the pasuk in Dvarim. Ika da'amri, there's another version that she died because gro gorot Rav Tzadok achla, she ate the dried figs of Rav Tzadok. What was the story? Nisa ometa. Right, what's that story? Tzadok evidently fasted for 40 years, day fast, whatever it may be, that Yerushalayim should not be destroyed. He was so thin that when he ate something, you could see it from the outside. How would he come out of the fast? They would bring him figs. He would squeeze out the juice and throw the dry part away. When now back to Marta, when she was dying, she took all her gold and silver and threw it out in the marketplace. What do I need this for? That's the pasuk that says, they'll throw their silver out in the streets. Now, another story about the Biryoni. Abba Sikra Reish Biryoni to Yerushalayim Bar Achted Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai Havi. He was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's nephew. He was the head of the Biryoni in Yerushalayim. Shalach Lei Tov Betzina Legabai. So Rabbi Yochanan said to his nephew, come secretly, discreetly to me. Ata Amar Lei Ad Eimat Av Ditu Hachi. Ad Litu Lei La'alma B'chafna. How long are you going to keep doing this and kill everybody with the famine? Amayavid Di Amina Lehumidi Kutli. He said, this is a well-known pattern. My troops are out of control. If I try to tell them, they'll kill me also. Find a way for me to get out of the city. Maybe I can save something. Amarlei, so Abba Basikra told his uncle, Nikot nafshach b'ktzire. Get the word out that you're sick. Velete kuli amar l'shai lubach. Let everybody come and visit you. V'ayti midi sarya v'agni gabach. And put something that smells very bad near you. V'lemur denach nafshach. And then let the word go out that you have died. Get the word out that you have died. Let the only ones to carry your body out of the city be your students and no one else. They'll feel that you're lighter. Everybody knows that a live body is lighter than the dead, and they'll realize it. So let them carry you. Avir Hachi did that. The two great Gedolim, Rabbi Elazar and Rishua, are the ones to carry him. When they came to the gate of the city, and they had to go out to bury him, the Romans wanted to stab the coffin. Amarlahu yomru rabban dakru. Are you kidding? The Jews are going crazy if they say that, oh, they stabbed the Rebbe. Ba'u l'mitchafei. So they wanted to push him. Amarlahu yomru rabban dakhafu. They'll say, you mistreated the patchu le'bava. They opened up the gate. Nafak. He went out. So now Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was on his own. Kimata lahatam, he came to the garrison, Amar, Shloma alach malka. He greeted Vespasian, and he greeted him as a king. Shloma alach malka. Amar le michai v'treik tala. He said, so Vespasian very sharply said, you are deserving to die twice. Chared alav malka ana. First of all, I'm not a king. V'kakarit li malka. And you're calling me a king, which is treason. V'tu, imalka ana. If I really am a king, ad ha'idna, aima amai lo atit lagabai. Why haven't you come here yet? So Mother Kamar Lav Malka on so Bechaman Zakkai had an answer for him. He said, you're saying you're not the king. Ibra de Malka, indeed you are the king. The Lav Malka Lo Mimsar Yushalaim Biadach. Yushalaim will not be conquered by anybody less than a king. Tikhiv Alvanon Adir Yipol. The Levanon will fall to the Adir. That's the Midrashic read of the Pasuk. Vain Adir Ala Malach. Adir means a king. Adir means strong. Dichtiv, haya adirom imanu, etc. Ve'en levanon u'beit ha-mikdash, nemar ha-tohar ha-tohar zel v'avanon. V'avanon is a reference to the Beit ha-mikdash. Kamarti malka ana amaylo l'kati l'gabaya de'idna. And your other claim, which is, if I'm really a king, why didn't you come till now? Biryoni de'ipan lo shavkinan. The biryoni don't let me. Amar le'ilu ha-chavit shel dvash v'darkon karuch aleha. If you have a barrel of honey and there is some sort of a snake on top of it, wouldn't they break the barrel in order to kill the snake? So ishtik, he had nothing to say. In other words, his claim back was you guys should have destroyed the city to get rid of those biryonim who are really hurting you. So Rav Yochanan had no answer. Kari alei Rav Yosef, tem Rav Akiva. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu confuses the Chachamim. He had an answer, he didn't say. He should have said, Shaklinan Savta, Shaklinan Le the Darkon, Vakatlinan Le. You know what you do? You take some wood, and you knock the snake off, Vachavita Shavkinan Le, and you leave the barrel. You know, there's ways to solve it without destroying the city. A messenger came from Rome in the meantime. Amarle Kum. Said, get up, because the Caesar has died, and the Chashuvim of Rome, the Senate, have made you the Caesar. Ah, so you see, that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was right. At that point, he had one of his boots on, Vespasian. He wanted to put the other one on, it didn't work. He wanted to take the other one off, it didn't work either. Ramayhai, he said, what's this? Amar lei, lo titztai, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, don't worry. Shmua tova atyelach. You heard good news. Dichtiv shmua tova tadashen atzem. A good word, good news, fattens up the bone. Right? Elamai takante, so what should I do? Leite inish delo metva datach minei velech laf kamach. Let somebody who you don't like walk in front of you. Right? Dichtiv ruach nechayati abesh garem. A low spirit withers up. Avar hachi ayil. And that happened, and then he was able to put his shoe on. His foot got a little smaller. He was able to put his boot on. So if you are so wise, why didn't you come here earlier to negotiate? Didn't I tell you? I also told you. You should have gotten out at any cost. So Vespasian said, I'm leaving. Somebody else is going to come. Turns out to be Titus. So you can ask a request, make a request, and I'll give it to you. Let the city of Yavne and its wise people be left alone. And the patriarchate of Rabban Gamliel, the Asvata the Messiah and Leather Rabbi Tzadok, and Rabbi Tzadok's doctors. Karla Rabbi Yosef, Tamar Rabbi Kiva, Meshiv Chacham Achor, Datam Yisakel. Again, either Rabbi Yosef or much earlier Rabbi Kiva quoted that Pasuk that Hashem confuses the wise. He should have said, leave us alone. For who Sabar, Yochan Mazakai actually thought about this, Dilma Kule Hailo Avid, Salpur Tanami Lohave. He thought maybe that they wouldn't give me and I wouldn't get anything. So he asked for a little bit. Now, parenthetically, what are these doctors of Rabbi Tzadok? Svatim Sasyan Leather Rabbi Tzadok Maihi. Yomakama Ashkiyu Amaya de Pari. First they would feed him a little bit of certain kind of fruit water. The Macha Maya de Sipuka. The Macha Maya de Kimcha. Adaravach Mee Porta Porta. Until his stomach would open up a little bit more. Alright? And that's what the doctors would do. Azal Shadre le Titus. They sent Titus. He was the next one. Vamar E Eloheimo Tsur Chai Sayuvo. The Pasuk in Hazinu, which says they're gonna say, where is their God? Zet Titus HaRasha. That's a reference to Titus. Shechira Fegidev Klapim Allah, who blasphemed God. Ma'asa. Tafaz Zona Biado. He took a harlot in his hands. V'nichas Tavet Kodesh HaKodoshim. He went into the holiest place. See how Sefer Torah, he opened up a Sefer Torah, Vavar Aleh HaVeran. He sinned with her right there in the Kodesh Kedoshim. V'natal Sayif V'gider et HaParochet. He took a sword and he went right through the Parochet. V'nasan Neis V'haya Dam V'atzbeitz V'yotzei. And a miracle happened and Dam came out of the Parochet. Savur Harag Tatzmo. He thought he'd killed God. Shenemar Shagut Zarecha B'kerav Mo'adecha Samu Ototam Otot. They made their signs into real signs. Who is like you, who is protective, that's it. But the way we read it is, who is like you so strong, you hear this man's blasphemy and you say nothing. What's the drasha? None is like you among the mute. You are the most mute, able to withstand these curses and say nothing. Ma'asa. So what did he do? He took the parochet and turned it, and this again has parallels in Midrash Rabbah, with slight variations. He made the parochet like into a bag. This, of course, leads to the famous Arch of Titus. He put all of the kelim in Mikdash there. He went to take them in a boat to pray, get praise in his own city. Now, instead of kvurim, we say, al tikre kvurim ela kvutzim, al tikre vishtakhu ela vishtabchu. So we're reading this pasuk as I've seen rishayim that gather around to take praise in a city, that they've done this thing. Ika da amri kvurim mamash, really kvurim, da filu mili de betamri gael lilihon. They even found out things that were secret things. Now, model avnach shol shabayam latovo, and suddenly a big, eddy came to, swallow him. In the sea, this Titus, Amarkim Dubani, Shaloham, Shalelo, Engvarato, Elamayim. This God can only, it has power in the, on the water. This is echoing Malachim Aleph Perak Chaf. Take a look. Ba Paro, Tval Bamayim. He drowned Paro in the water. Ba Sisra, Tval Bamayim. That's the Sisra. For made Allah, Tovenimayim. He wants to do me also. In Giborhu, Yaleli, Abashavi, Asaymi, Muhammad. Let him come up and meet me on land and beat me. Stabat Kovi Amralo, Brashaben, Rashaben, Benoshali, Savarasha. You wicked man. Birya Kala Yeshli Bolami. I have a tiny little creature. Vitushma, it's a gnat. My Karla Birya Kala, why is it called so small? De Ma'alana La Umafakna Leitla. It has only an orifice to take stuff in and not out. You know what? You go up on land and go to war against my gnat. So this gnat went into his head, into his nose. For 7 years it was banging away in his brain. One day he was walking past a blacksmith, Shama Kol Arzafta Ishtik. It heard the banging and it stopped. Amar Yigetakanta, so Titus said, I have a solution for my terrible headaches. So they would bring a blacksmith in front of him every day. If he was not Jewish, they'd give him a payment. You should be happy that you're seeing your enemy suffer. That's your reward. This worked for 30 days. Once I got used to it, it didn't help anymore. I was there among the great men of Rome. They did an autopsy on his brain. Matsubo Kitsipor Dror Mishkal Shnei Slaim. They found a huge bird inside, what we would call a tumor. Matnita Tana Kigozal Ben Shana Mishkal Shnei Litrin, another size. Alright, Nektinan Piv Shel Nechoshet V'tziponav Shel Barzel. The mouth was like copper of this thing, and its talons were like metal. Titus requested to be cremated and have his ashes spread over the seven seas. Because I don't want the Jews' God to find me and put me to judgment. All right, so that parenthetically leads to this story. Unklus, the famous Unklus Ager, Bar Klonikos, Bar Achte de Titus Ave. He was Titus's nephew. He thought to convert. This, by the way, was not unusual. A lot of people in Rome, including nobles in Rome, were converting both to Judaism and to Christianity in the first couple centuries, even though both were persecuted. He summoned Titus through necromancy. So who's really important in the world to come? Amarle Yisrael. Should I join them? They have lots of laws and you won't be able to fulfill them. Zil igaribuhu bahu alma bahavit resha. Go fight with them in this world, you'll become important. Dichtiv, hayut sareha l'rosh. So her enemies became heads. What's that? Kol hametz l'Yisrael nasarosh. Anybody who troubles Israel, who goes to battle against Israel, becomes a head. Amarle dina da ugavar b'mai. What's your judgment? Amarle b'mai de pasik anafshei. That which I request of myself. They bring all of my ashes together and judge me. They burn me again. And they spread me through the seven seas again. All right. We'll hear more about Unklus. Azal aske le Bilam benegida. He then summoned Bilam. Amarle, again, necromancy. Amarle manchashi bahu alma. Who's important in that world? Amarle Yisrael. Maulid Buki, but who should I join them? Amarle lo tidrosh lamam v'tovatam kol yamim. Don't seek their welfare. This, of course, is ironic because this is a pasuk that we have about our relationship with the Moavim, who are the ones who summoned Bilam. Amarle dinei dahu gavrmai. What? How are you judged? Amarle b'shichvat zerarotachat, boiling semen. And that's, of course, appropriate because of Bilam's advice about Bnot Moav. Azal Askei Benigida LePoshe Yisrael. He summoned up Poshe Yisrael in the proper Girsot. This says Jesus. Amar Leman Chashi Ba'olama, who's important in the world to come? Mali Yisrael. Mali Bukibu, should I join them? Amar Le Tovatam Tidrosh, Vatam Lo Tidrosh. You should seek their welfare and not their evil. Klonogeva and Kilo Nogeva Vateno. Anybody who touches them is like touching the apple of God's eye. I didn't know Gavra Mai, so how are you judged? Amarle Bitsora Rotachat, in boiling excrement. Amar Kol Amali Gal Divir Chomni Don Bitsora Rotachat. This is an ancient tradition that Jesus was guilty of blaspheming the words of the Chachamim. Say, anybody who does that, they end up in boiling excrement. Now, the end of this whole sugi is Tochazim Aben Poshi Yisrael and Avi Umota Ulam of De Avodah Zarah. They said, so see what the difference is between the worst of the Yisrael, who at least say to Drosh Tomam, and the best of the Nevim of the rest of the world. Tanya Melazar summing up the sugya, Bo Re Kama Gdola Kochasha Busha. Look how terrible shame is, and how powerful shame is. Shreisiyah Kodesh Baruch Hu Bar Kamtza Vechriva Petova Sarfete Chalo. Kodesh Baruch Hu helped Bar Kamtza, ending up with the destruction of his house and the burning of his temple. We'll pick it up at this point with the story of the Tarnigola and Tarnigolta and the Shaka de Rispak in the next podcast. Everyone should have a wonderful day.